Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone, alongside CEO of The Wine Growers, Carissa Cruz, here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
Seriously.
And we have a very special episode today.
I know. First time ever on The Good Stuff, we did an on-the-road podcast.
I know. I want to know a lot
Tell
more
you
about
more.
That.
I know. So we, I know now we're well into spring, but back in February, we were invited, us wine growers and some of our pilot farmers, were invited to go back to the Midwest to meet with executives and tour and basically be in conversation with our partners at John Deere.
Incredible.
Woo-woo. So okay. We're trying this. So we pre-recorded. So on the road, I sat down with a couple of our John Deere partners, which I'll explain more after the break, as we'll pick it up from Moline, Illinois, where we were having this conversation, and just talked about the partnership with John Deere. And it was just a chance for our for the John Deere folks to talk about what it means to be in partnership with Sonoma County, mm-hmm. you know, the types of information that they're getting and conversations, and just how important it is to have customers and their feedback. And so it was awesome. And it really, it went way smoother than I thought it would.
Well, hopefully it's always
good. Hopefully this whole episode makes it on. I'm we're a little ahead here. So hopefully it all gets connected. We sent all the links back, and our amazing producer, Jeff, here is going to compile the best episode ever because it's going to be super interesting. And I think something we hope to do more of. Oh, Jeff.
Oh,
hi,
no.
Jeff. What's going on, Jeff?
This is a lot of fun to edit. Yeah, it'll be ready.
So what you're saying, easy for us. Well, basically easy for Virginie because I had to do it by myself. She was not back in the Midwest with me.
But I was not.
But then Jeff,
I was on a beach somewhere.
Yes.
Probably not. But I like to think that mentally.
Yes. But we had the best time. I have not seen our farmers so excited. I mean, they obviously love all the partners we work with because they appreciate the support. But to see some of our pilot farmers, literally, I mean, they've been driving tractors from, as soon as they could literally reach the pedals mm-hmm. on a tractor. And specifically, the pilot farmers that are working with us, this John Deere pilot, are huge John Deere fans and customers. And so, I mean, it was just like kids in candy store. I mean, you just couldn't. Yeah.
So it was
the most I really ever heard the farmers talk. And then they wanted to be in all these photos. And I was like, who are you all?
Yeah. All of a sudden, like, they come out of their shell. They're like,
totally.
Oh, my God, fanboys.
Totally. Yes. It was like, oh, my God, we're at John Deere headquarters. What's going on? And so, yeah.
Was it a live audience? I mean, did you have were there a lot of people from John Deere just listening? Or how did
no.
it go?
No. So we actually kind of peeled out into kind of a not a cubby, but we were in kind of a public space. So people were definitely walking by, kind of giving us the look, like, what are you doing? but it was, kind of a little bit off. We let the pilot farmers wander around kind of corporate headquarters for a little bit. And yeah, we jumped in, and I had two guests, Jason Brantley and then Sean Sundberg, who has been a previous guest on The Good Stuff. So
okay, well, everyone, you're in for a treat. Here comes the best episode of all time.
On the road. All right, well, welcome everyone to Moline, Illinois. We are at John Deere headquarters for our first ever show on the road. So we're taking the good stuff on the road to Illinois. We've been in Iowa here this week with some of our pilot farmers. We're going to jump into in a few minutes of what all that means to be a pilot farmer. But here with two guests today, I'm here with Jason Brantley. He is, I'm going to get it right, the Vice President for Small Ag and Turf Production. And Sean Sundberg, who is the Business Integration Manager. Did I get that right?
You got it right.
Welcome, guests. All right. Well, Jason, I'm going to start with you, and we're going to go all the way back to the beginning. So where were you born? Where are you from? And how the heck did you get to John Deere?
Oh, wow. So you're going way back.
We're
going to
go all the way back. Take us back. Yes.
So I'm actually from southeastern Virginia is where I grew up. And my family was in the farm equipment business. So,
okay.
I joke with people. I don't know if I'm any good at this, but it's literally the only thing I've ever been around. And when I graduated from university, I came to work for Deer and actually got hired on as a marketing rep. So my first job was washing and waxing tractors for shows.
That's what they call marketing. I consider myself a marketing person, and I'm not sure I've done much of the washing and waxing. I have done some ironing, though, of our lovely tablecloth we put out when we serve wine at a trade show.
So absolutely.
Maybe that's my version of
all
it.
All that stuff matters.
It marketing, does matter.
It's got to be shiny. It's got to present well, right? So, and it was a great opportunity to learn a lot about the product and meet a lot of customers as I traveled around. And then just been fortunate to have a number of opportunities. I've worked in customer support and sales and product development and technology. I spent some time on our construction side of the business. Okay. And then had opportunities to lead our teams outside the U.S. in a number of countries, lived in both Africa and Asia.
I'm gonna cut you off a minute. You have to start way back, though. So your marketing, where was that job at?
That was in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah, we used to have a facility there that supported our sales and marketing activities across the southeastern United States. So I started off in the Atlanta branch.
So then take me through. Okay, so all those jobs, where are you moving? Because I think it just goes to show the scope and scale of John Deere that might surprise folks.
Yeah, I've moved 12 or 13 times. I should probably count it back up. But I've lived all over the southeast, North Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, Texas, Georgia. But then also lived in Iowa 4 times, and lived in the Northeast, and then lived in Johannesburg in South Africa, and then Singapore. So
now that connects some dots maybe for me. Was it in Johannesburg that you met your wife?
I did. Okay. Yeah, best assignment I ever had.
Okay, I was going to say, I'm like offline, he was giving me a little feedback on that. And so,
absolutely. Yeah,
that's great.
Beautiful country.
So what's the most unexpected thing you've done working for John Deere that you're like, I can't believe?
Some days it feels like I would tell you every job has a moment that's like that, you know? And I would say, one of them was when I was involved in our cotton business and the opportunity to be a part of bringing the new round module cotton picker into existence, which was really challenging and ultimately a really successful solution for our customers. Yeah. Having the opportunity to be a part of expanding our business into new geographies in Africa and Asia is something I never dreamed of, then when had the opportunity to do it and to do it with such an amazing team, that's always going to be just a part of my career I look back really fondly. And then the role that I'm in now, I think one of the cool things, and you and I talked about this briefly, but, John Deere, we're organized around our customers. There's not a vice president of tractors, right? I'm the vice president of small agricultural production systems. And we focus on, in my area, we're focused on our high-value crop producers, such as yourself and your team members. And then also looking at dairy, livestock, our small acre crops around the world, and then our golf and turf customers. And so getting up every day and looking at ways to help bring new solutions and technology that really unlock value for our customers and help drive agriculture forward globally. And to be doing that with things like autonomy and battery electrification and new machine architectures, that's just way outside of what I ever thought I would do. I mean, it's almost like 20 years ago we would, talk about these things and it was kind of like science fiction.
You're right.
And today it's here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how have you found farmers in general, I guess their openness to sort of that evolution of technology and autonomy and electrification, all these kind of buzzwords that we're starting to hear more and more in agriculture? Are you seeing good adoption, curiosity, all the above?
We're seeing all the above. I think in general in agriculture, you would see that once technologies or solutions are proven, the adoption's actually faster than for consumer technology. Now the process of people learning about it, being able to see enough of it to understand how it's going to fit into their particular operation and have the confidence in it, that can maybe take a little longer. But the actual adoption is pretty fast in agriculture, and it has to be, because agriculture is always under pressure from markets and regulations and competition and the weather and you name it, right? Yeah. So farmers inherently are some of the most innovative people on Earth, yes. right? And so, you know, our job is to find ways to be able to help de-risk that technology, make it more useful, make it easier to integrate. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing farmers at all levels. So we absolutely have some growers that are super excited about what we've already done. And they're just like, can you bring me more? And mm-hmm. like right now, right? And then we have other growers that are saying, okay, I've used this. I like it. I'm going to hold off on, you know, more data collection, for instance, because I want to focus on another part of my yep. business. Some growers are really interested in autonomy. Others feel like, oh, I'm not sure that I see a place for that. And we're okay with that because we know that over time, it'll all work out. Solutions that have value for customers will find a home. Yeah. And not everybody is going to do everything because they never have, right?
Yeah.
It's hyper-local. By the time you get on a farm, nobody knows better than the farmer what problems they're trying to solve, where they want to put capital at risk, or where they want to make investments to make a difference, and it all sorts itself out. Right. So again, I think what's cool is to be part of a company that's walking on both sides of that, right? We've got the long history on the equipment side mm-hmm. and those types of solutions, and what's getting to be a long history on the technology and the electronics yeah. side, when you look at our ISG organization. And so we've seen it. We know what it looks like as people are trialing technology and adopting it. And we know what to look for to get insights into what we need to be working on next.
So, I mean, John Deere, I mean, I grew up in agriculture. My grandparents both had farms. Clearly it's a brand I think almost everyone knows and knows the green, but maybe just a little history of the company for background when it was started and
yeah.
how it was started.
Yeah,
the problem
sure.
it was solving at the time.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we're super proud of our origin story because I think even today, and I think you'd have a sense of this being around us this week, even today we're informed by where mm-hmm. we came from in the history, right? Like there was a guy named John Deere, and
we've answered that, everyone. There's actually a real John Deere person. Good.
Yep. And he was born mm-hmm. in Vermont, actually, yeah. and he was a blacksmith. And he moved west looking for work. And he settled in Grand Detour, Illinois, which is towards mm-hmm. Chicago from here, and opened up a blacksmith shop and was working along with that. And farmers were having a lot of challenges at that point in time. The soils here are very sticky. And so when you would run a traditional plow through the soil, it would just gum up and roll up and ball up with sticky soil. And you'd have to stop every so many feet, 3, 5, 6, 8 feet, pull the plow out of the ground, take a stick, knock all the dirt off of it, and drop it back in. So it was a real challenge for farmers in the area. It ultimately meant that it put a limit on how much food they could produce,
sure.
right, because of the amount of time that it took. And one day, John Deere had this great idea of taking a saw blade, which is mm-hmm. steel. Plows are made out yeah. of cast iron, saws are steel. And he cut the saw blade up and affixed it to the plowshare huh. and tested it. And lo and behold, the dirt wouldn't stick to it. It rolled right off. He created the first commercially successful self-scouring plow. So that's where the story comes
yeah.
from. So, you know, we're rooted in being tied closely to our customers' problems and understanding what they need and looking for innovative solutions
right.
to those problems. Like that's where it starts. His business continued to grow, and in 1847, he moved here to Moline and continued to expand. And we've continued to grow. We expanded first into other types of implements in 1918 with the acquisition of the Waterloo Boy Gasoline Traction Engine Company. We got into yeah. the self-propelled
Which agricultural
had a chance equipment
to tour.
Business.
Yeah,
yeah.
We toured the museum in Waterloo. That was an amazing
yep.
opportunity.
Yep. It was
yeah.
a great
We saw that whole transition. We talked a good length about
I saw the check.
From, yeah, we saw the check,
yeah.
which
yeah.
was really neat. And then the whole transition from implements into tractor was a pretty big bet.
It was a yeah. difficult bet at the time. And you know, it seems obvious now that tractors would take the place of horses and mules, but it was not obvious at the time.
Right.
And it's interesting, some of the, even some of the correspondence that's still in the factory archives, you can look at and see where people were trying to debate, like, how do we figure this out, you know? Some people thought there was just an upward limit of how many tractors and that would be it and there'll be horses
yeah.
forever. And so, yeah, with every new innovation, I think there's those questions around it. And again, ultimately the customers choose the solutions that make the most sense.
Yeah.
And tractors have come a long way since then.
A long
as well.
Way. As we've gotten to tour two factories on this trip here. And I think some of our farmers are looking at maybe farming other crops so they can buy a big combine. Because
It was an amazing tour. I think the level of automation, the level of use of robotics and the new technology for welding and lasers blew us all away.
Well, and maybe you could both, and that was Sean, you were hearing, maybe you can both comment a little bit, because what really rang true for me, it was just this, the culture that John Deere's cultivated and just how friendly everyone was, how excited they were to welcome us, I guess maybe just how welcoming, whether it was the team showing us around to, you know, folks on the floor at the plant, taking a moment to wave as we went by on the tour. There, you can just tell there's just a lot of joy was the word that came to mind of what they do and who they work for. Maybe just comment on that.
I would say it's pride.
There you go.
You have retirees that are giving their time back to the company.
Which is amazing.
To give growers tours. And it was amazing. Everywhere we drove, everybody turned, they waved, said hello.
Yes.
It was very welcoming, very open. And then the tour itself, the factories, both Waterloo and Harvester Works, were top-notch facilities. I couldn't imagine another facility, manufacturing facility in agriculture, even coming close to what those two have.
And I love, because I'd probably lose something, because that's my what would happen to me. But there's, you know, the little robots that go around that have scanned everything, go help you find it. So yeah. I think I need one of those for my house. So pretty cool technology at every step of the way.
Yeah, that innovative culture that we have at Deere, it goes to everything. So when we think about our customers and how we can serve you better, it's obviously part of it. When we think about how to build better quality products, how to manage our businesses more effectively, it's part of that too. And I appreciate you calling out the John Deere employees and just the excitement, the positive attitude, the engagement.
Incredible.
And we have a saying at John Deere, we talk about how we run so life can leap forward. Mm-hmm. And it's really around, if you think about it, everything that we're involved in some way is serving customers who are linked to the land and somehow serving humanity, whether it's food, whether it's fiber, whether it's roads, construction, infrastructure, property maintenance. All of those things are really just, they're grounded, mm-hmm. right? They're super important.
Yeah.
And they make a difference in the communities that we serve around the world. And our employees can see that the work we do, which many times is really hard, but that work that we do really makes an impact out there. And I've consistently seen around the world where that energizes our employees and creates a sense of pride. And everybody also sees the continuing challenge for the future, and they're signed up for it. It's not going to get any easier.
It's not. You know,
to help our customers be more productive, more profitable, and operate in more sustainable ways, it's going to take the best that we have. And our team members are signed up to do that. And I just think it's so cool. You can just walk in and, you know, come in from the outside and you can feel it.
Yeah, and I loved the one tour guy was even mentioning, which I just thought was so interesting, that any employee could go up, type in a suggestion, and within 2 days would have a response back from corporate if this was a good idea, something we could implement. Maybe not now, maybe in the future, but just that feedback and to actually be guaranteed a response in 2 days. I thought that was remarkable because I have some unread emails that I've been sitting on for a couple of weeks. So sorry, Sean, one of those might be yours.
Yeah, that might be for me.
I love that attention to detail and just the full circle support of the customer, support of the employees. It's definitely a theme. And
so something that stood out today at Harvester for me was the wall where they honor veterans.
Yes.
Right, very, very important to that team. You could just see them talking about it. And then also the Make-A-Wish Foundation, mm-hmm. where kids, instead of saying, hey, let's go to Disney, they want to come and see a combine. And the level, I mean, it's like almost very emotional for them as they come there.
I think there is a lot of farmers that feel the same way. No Disneyland, yes, let's go on a tractor factory tour. All right, well, we're going to have to take our first quick break, and then we'll be right back and continue talking to Jason and Sean from John Deere headquarters. Okay, we're back on The Good Stuff here in Moline, Illinois, where I am at John Deere's corporate headquarters. But I am joined by Jason Brantley, who agreed to do this radio show podcast with me well over a year ago now, at the tail end of a lovely dinner out with the team, leadership team at Dutton Ranch, talking about this collaboration we were going to do with our Sonoma County growers. And we should talk about how that happened. So I got him to agree then, but we were already well in the works of having this collaboration between Sonoma County wine growers and John Deere, and Sean, that's where you play a really pivotal role. So would you want to maybe give your, I'll let you give your version. Maybe we'll do a his and hers version of how this partnership came about.
I'll give my version first. Okay. No, that's wonderful. And it's a good story. And I think one that is going to lead to great things and still in process and moving forward.
Absolutely.
And this is one component of that, right? Of bringing the growers that we collaborate with to John Deere headquarters. But I think it was right around 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, that we first said we're going to be in a partnership. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do this collaboration. But it
that was the official.
That was the official start. But it took about a year to get to that point.
Yeah.
And so, Chris, I have to applaud you because when I do talk about this, we talk about you and the fact you landed Ford, and you landed yes. John Deere, you landed Wilbur Ellis. So you have a unique ability to make people see or enable people to see the vision of what you have. And I think
I'm kind of a pest, so I will not be ignored. Relentless. We'll go with relentless.
You
I like
out,
that.
You saw an announcement from the Consumer Electronics Show.
I did,
show.
Yeah.
Reach out to our PR firm or PR.
That was the only email address I could find.
Yeah, the PR manager, John Ebert.
Yep.
And said, hey, I'm Carissa. Can we talk?
We should do something.
And it made its way through all the minutia.
Well, no, I got ghosted. Sorry, Jonathan. I'm going to sell you out for a minute. I got ghosted for about a month and then I pinged him again. And then I think I had a response within an hour. So I'm totally like that too. So just sorry, Jonathan. Thank you for responding. Yes, I think, the email was around just mentioning we had this incredible collaboration with Ford, really looking at the role of electric vehicles in agriculture. And Jason, to your point, like farmers want to see their friends being successful with something sometimes before they're willing to invest in it. Yeah. So that was just like the premise. You know, we had the partnership with John or with Ford, and so John Deere was clearly the next, and thinking about an impact in a grower's business, obviously John Deere and what they do with their tractors and equipment and service and reliability was just a huge opportunity, I think, to learn together.
I would agree. Definitely when I got asked to reach out and contact
When the email made its way through the John Deere system here and landed on your inbox.
My desk,
yeah.
And very intrigued. Very intrigued. I reached out and Chris said no.
I know.
To me the first time. And
I take it
said,
back clearly.
We only take C-suite members for this summit.
Oh, I've not heard this first.
Oh, you haven't heard this?
I'm a C-suiter.
Yeah.
But I'm a business integrator.
Okay, so here's the background on that. So yeah, so I used actually I was like, well, let's create a one-day like strategic summit. Let's invite companies, you know, that we already work with and maybe some that it would be new partners, new collaborators, sit at the table with our growers and let's just talk kind of big picture how we could kind of work together, solve problems together. But really a lot of that was around being able to have an invite for John Deere. So then Sean shows up and he has a title, and I'm sorry, the John Deere title is just kind of blew me. So he was business integration manager. I'm like, well, that could just be a salesperson. I don't want a dealer salesperson. You know, access to a bunch of our farmers all day long, selling them on stuff. I want someone that's there to help them think and push the envelope on how we're actually thinking and thinking about collaborations. And so I was like, well, we really are trying to recruit C-suite level people for the summit. And he wrote back, well, here's my bio and I can bring Gary Thompson from Gus, who is a chief operating officer. So I was like, well, I don't know who the Sean guy is, but we got a COO from Gus. So we'll go with that. So they both got an invite to the our first Farm of the Future Summit. And I'll let you jump back in.
It was a fantastic opportunity. Like you said, a variety of people from different industries. Mm-hmm. We even had somebody from NASA that was there that came, and you know, different companies. And what I really learned quickly is that people probably have a view of wine grape business and the wine business that, hey, that's super lucrative for the growers and they're making money hand over fist, but quickly learned the pressures that they have in terms of labor and material cost and everything is really shrinking their margins.
Yeah.
And that was eye opening for me. And then as we worked through that day and a half summit, it became very, very clear that some of the work that we're doing already that we're trying to extend into high value crop space would really be beneficial. And that's where the whole conversation started to get a little bit more deep and more meaningful. Yeah. And to me, that's how we all came together.
Yeah. So, I mean, a couple of weeks, which was so great, and the participation. And I think, like you said, people do have this misperception that if you're spending $30 on a bottle of wine, that means that farmer's getting $28 in their pocket. I mean, and the reality is, you know, especially in California, the cost of doing business, the land values, the regulatory pressures, the, you know, everything, I think is just more expensive in California. Can I say that? But it seems like it is, you know, it was really, really hard. And the margins were really, really lean, and to the point where, and our farmers are price takers, which I think makes them like a lot of farmers around the world, is that, you know, they don't, most of our growers don't actually have a wine brand. They sell to a number of wineries. So they are truly just the farmer. They're creating a product. They take the product and they pass it off. And so they are, again, they call themselves price takers, and that's a lot of pressure. So.
I'll mention this. The other thing that really stood out was the fifth, the sixth generation farmers that they've done this for years. And now you have a century club.
We have a century club that we started. Yeah.
100 years of farming in Sonoma County. Yeah. And even your chair, Brett Munsell.
150 years.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to create a new. It's like a century and a half club or something.
But then the history, the heritage, it was so aligned in parallel with what
it's a rich heritage
that means a lot to deer, that it was a no brainer.
So we should just talk about what did we? Because a couple weeks later, the leadership team shows up in Sonoma County, which was really exciting. All of a sudden, I had all these titles of people that were better than Sean's title. Yeah. Just
easier
kidding.
Easier to understand.
Easier. There we go. Thank you, Jason. Maybe, clearer, direct, what do you do? But talk about that, Sean, because you were instrumental in then going back to John Deere and sharing what we were trying to do and kind of get people at the table.
Yeah, so I think it was an easy ask at that point, because we relayed, my experience there. And it is really, like I said, it's aligned with what what we're trying to do from a corporate standpoint to support growers. And I'll have Jason talk a little bit about this, is the advancement of technology. And that's when you see your growers saying, hey, I got it. The only way I think I can manage this is I got to find a way to do it smarter. Got to bring in technology. I have to find a way to cut costs, or if I can use that tech to bring even more high quality grapes to market. That's the only way we see this working. And that, when we talked to our director of high value crops business, we talked to Jason, we talked to our president, they're like, okay, we understand this. And the fact that the global business for grapes, it's a big business, whether it's South Africa, whether it's France, Australia or US, it's a lot of growers that we feel can benefit if we can bring the right solutions.
Yeah. And our farmers are very open to sharing real life experiences, the data, to help farmers be successful around the world. I mean, I think that's what I appreciate so much about working with the farmers, is that they want the farmer next door to be able to use less resources, conserve water, farm, you know, even more sustainably. There's no benefit to competing on that front. It's a benefit to share and collaborate on that front. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And I really think the timing of you reaching out and trying to reach out to Deere, it was really fortuitous, because it's at exactly the same time that we were starting to reframe what we thought was possible in multiple crops around the world. John Deere's fortunate to participate in nearly every cropping system that there is. And we've developed a number of solutions over the years. And we were finding that we can take a solution developed in corn, maybe make a few changes and use it in another crop. And we can take one developed for wine grapes and make a few changes and use it in carrots, for instance. And it was really starting to crystallize it right about that same time. Say, oh, wow.
I had no idea.
You know, well, because when we started to see how much we could do, then the next problem becomes, what's the next thing you do?
Right.
Right. You can only see one or two things. It's pretty easy. But if you can see 100 things, then you really have got to partner close with your customers to understand which problems are going to matter and which ones can you solve in a way that are going to be complementary and acceptable. And so your timing was perfect.
Hold that thought. We're going to take one more quick break and then come back and dive into the partnership. So, back on the good stuff. I am here at John Deere corporate headquarters with Jason Brantley and Sean Sundberg. And Jason, I cut you off to take the quick break, but we're just jumping into a little bit more about kind of the value, the timing. But maybe we should actually tell everyone what the partnership, collaboration, what we're doing.
Yeah, I'll maybe share a few things. And Sean, I know, has got a lot of great stories around the work with you guys. You know, at that point in time, it was a combination. We were making some acquisitions of things like Smart Apply, and we were beginning to expand some existing parts of our tech stack Like we call it our precision essentials. Mm-hmm. It gives you guidance and documentation capability. We're starting to extend those into specialty crops. And grapes was one of the ones that was high on the radar screen of, hey, there are a lot of customers trying to solve problems where more data and more control in their mm-hmm. operation would make a difference. But we, you know, where do we start? And so you guys showed up. Timing was perfect. And so we began to put together a plan yeah. with you to actually get out in the field, work with your growers and your members, and test these technologies. And that's where Sean and his team really just stepped in and made sure wow. that we had the products that we needed, we had the support, we had the tech, mm-hmm. and then took that forward. You know, Sean, I know some things at a high level, right? Like I know we saved like 24% of chemical in water, for yeah, instance, using Smart Apply. I know
we've been able to have a big... 30%, I think, on average across the ranges. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know we've had a lot of impact.
Pretty impactful.
But maybe talk about what did it take to get there? What does it take to actually test at this kind of scale?
So that's a great question. It takes commitment from the company, which we are. And it also takes a great partner, in which you are. And then the supporting mechanism of our John Deere dealer.
Yeah, I was going to say Belcorp.
Belcorp really stood up, did a great job mm-hmm. Throughout the entire process and still ongoing.
Yes.
And in delivering that support, because we can be there and we can be present, but not as frequently as them. And they know the tech as well as we do, and they come in yeah. when needed. I think that we gravitated immediately towards, as Jason said, a company that with technology we purchased called Smart Apply. Because when I heard Steve Dutton talking about, man, I got to find a way to cut costs out of this. Mm-hmm. They're spraying material quite often and frequently, mm-hmm. Depending on
five, seven passes.
Yeah, each year, right?
Yeah.
I can save 30% of that mm-hmm. Material that I'm applying. That's direct impact to bottom line cost.
Right.
Right. So, and we hadn't really run too much in grapes, and we said, what a great opportunity to work with these growers that are yeah. hand raisers, right? They yeah. all have to opt in
yeah.
to doing this. And then we ran that first trial in 2024.
Yep.
We're a little late because of the,
yeah, we didn't catch
the partnership
the early...
didn't come together, and we missed the first couple sprays.
Yeah, early in the season.
Where actually the main benefit would mm-hmm. be because it's you don't have all the foliage at that point. And then it worked really well. We fine-tuned it. We all learned how to set it up to maximize performance.
Absolutely.
And all that, but it did. It paid benefits. And now the question mark as we look at it is, how do we expand that with your other mm-hmm. 1,700 grape growers that are probably under the same amount of pressure
absolutely.
Financially that some of the others are? And that's what, when we think of extending that technology to the grower base, that's where that is. But also, I'd be remiss if we didn't mention the digital platform that mm-hmm. Deere does have, on which all of this data is available to growers to make better, quicker, faster decisions. That's John Deere Operations Center.
Yep.
And that's the basis of everything that we do from a technology standpoint in terms of, you hear the term light up my fleet, right? putting the MTG on the product so you know where it is, you know where your passes have been made, you know if you miss passes, that type of thing. That's now then going to build into truly documenting mm-hmm. the work and being able to assign work roles to your grower or to the tractor drivers to go and be more efficient and more effective. And I think, to me, the ability, the precision aspect of what we're doing with the technology and the repeatability of it is going to be the biggest impact for the growers to
right.
just have faith that their operations are now fine-tuned machines that are producing the best that you can.
Yeah, so we had six farming operations, ranches, sign up for sort of this collaboration with all of you. And I think what I've seen been so beneficial is just literally the conversations happening around the table where they're learning from each other. And then we can sort of take that and put it into better training and better education, share the results. And back to early in the first segment, your comment about just farmers need to see some validation, even if it's minimal, just to kind of give them that confidence, because mm-hmm. every dollar they spend on something that has to have a return. And so whether it's saving labor or money or spray material and all of the above in the case right. of Smart Apply. So
right. And I would say it was a natural segue, knowing that your organization launched Ford Lightning
yes.
globally, that with us coming with an electric tractor, being able to get that machine up, test and run and trial with the growers to
yes.
see how it's going to fit into their operation. That was just a natural fit as well.
Well, and I think we should just mention, as we're kind of closing up, the show goes so fast. I asked, well, what's the time horizon, Sean?
why does it ever have to end?
So I think that's a perfect reason why we're here with our pilot farmers this week at John Deere headquarters. We've been touring around both Iowa and Illinois, visiting plants, meeting teams, about to head into a conversation with some of the leadership team about really what's next for our collaboration and continuing all that. So I think even more exciting things ahead, because I think you just continue to build trust and reputation over time. And so I'm super excited.
We're excited too. We've got some amazing things underway right now that haven't been introduced yet that we're going to be excited to be talking to you about soon.
I was going to say, we've signed all sorts of NDA agreements, so we're excited to hear about all the exciting things ahead. Yeah. Well, I do want to just say it's so fun to do this, our first On the Road podcast. Jason Brantley, thank you.
It's a pleasure.
You've now met your commitment, so maybe I'll get you to, you'll do it again though, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, anytime. We got him for a second show. Sean, this is like you're like almost a regular now. You're a regular.
Yeah. I am in Sonoma County quite frequently.
Yes.
But I love it, and I love the people of the Growers. It's great to be a part of.
Thank you both so much. We've had such a great time with, and what an amazing team. And John Deere, what an amazing organization.
Thank you.
Back to wrap things up on the good stuff. So incredible.
What'd you think? Fun, huh?
Really fun.
We're going to have to do more on the road.
I think especially a place like that. I mean, so much history, so much time and experience in agriculture.
And we can't always get those executives here in studio. So it's great to be able to take advantage on kind of a special moment and experience for our growers. So awesome. Awesome all around.
Okay, well, in honor of your guests, let's talk about Tuesday Night Wines.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. So I think the farmer who literally had the most fun was probably Kevin Barr. He just literally, I got a note as soon as we invited him. It was like, I'm in. Nothing will keep me from going on this trip. And so, and Kevin Barr, part of Redwood Empire Vineyard Management, was there with his business partner, Tyler Click, who's on our board. And they farm for Silver Oak. So as a nod to Kevin and how much fun I know he had on this trip, as did the other growers, my Tuesday Night Wine is going to be the Silver Oak Cabernet from Alexander Valley.
Okay.
What do you got?
Well, you mentioned that Sean is a real fan of Zinfandel, so I'm going to go Segacio, old school name in Zinfandel, and old school vineyard, Montafi, Russian River, Zinfandel 2022.
So now Sean's going to listen to this episode and be like, I'm not sure I had the Segacio, and now I'm going to have to go get him the Segacio because you're having it on Tuesday night in his honor. Do you see the extra work you've created for me here?
You might have. I can maybe get you a couple bottles of Zinfandel.
I'm going to send him your way and be like, Virginie invites you to join her on Tuesday night if you're in town.
Okay.
So
a case of Zin is on the way. Or
something.
Waiting for him.
Oh, I like that. He'd be so happy. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, yes, great trip. John Deere has been just an amazing partner and super happy that they hosted our growers. It was definitely a trip of a lifetime.
Great. Great job. Thanks for joining us today from Sonoma County to wherever you are. Remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.